going to their children's church. They're going to have a little celebration there. Amen. If you've got your Bibles, turn with me quickly. I won't keep you long, just to give you the blessing God gave me to give to you on this Easter 2015. Amen. And who doesn't need a blessing, huh? Yeah. Luke, the 24th chapter of Luke. When you've got it, if you would stand with me one more time, and then we'll let you relax in his presence. When you got it, you might say, I've got it. Look at somebody and say, you really got it. I know you got it. Yeah, in more ways than one. Praise God. Luke, the 24th chapter. If you haven't got it, say, I'm looking for it. If you don't think you'll ever find it, just say, forget it, and you read it, Pastor. Amen. Now, it was on the first day of the week, very early in the morning, they came unto the sepulchre, bringing the spices which they had prepared, and certain others with them, and they found the stone rolled away from the sepulchre, and they entered in, and found not the body of the Lord Jesus. And it came to pass, as they were much perplexed thereabout, behold, two men stood by them in shining garments. And as they were afraid, and bowed down their faces to the earth, they said unto them, Why seek ye the living among the dead? He is not here. Somebody shout, He's not here. No, he is risen. Remember how he spake unto you when he was yet in Galilee. Remember how he spake unto you when he was yet in Galilee. Let's have a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word today. We thank you for all these that have come to honor you, to bless you on this Easter 2015. We know each one is very special to you, their life, their future, their purpose. We thank you for young and older alike. We thank you for the privilege and the honor to speak a word in your name. We know, Father, that you are the one that must help me. I depend on you. I look to you. I ask you to bless them. We can bless one another, but there's no blessing like your blessing, Lord. So I'm asking for your blessing now to come where they need it. Surprise them. May the blessing chase them and overtake them. Father, may you do things that we will exclaim, I can't believe it. I can hardly believe what I'm seeing, what I'm feeling, what I'm sensing, what is happening to me, to mine, to my family, to my loved ones, to my relationships. Lord, I thank you right now, and I give you praise in Jesus' name. Everybody said, praise the Lord. Amen. You may be seated in his presence. If you want to applaud his presence, you can, because he is worthy to be applauded. It is all about him, especially on this day. But I've always said, and I'll say it again for those that haven't heard it, when you make it about him, he in turn makes it about you. As long as we make it about ourselves, he can't make it about us. Is anybody hearing me? And we try to make it about us. We do our best. We strive. We labor. We work. We go through a lot of things. But when we find out that it's all about him and we make it about him, we find that in turn, he makes it about us, because it really is all about us. Can you prove that, Pastor? John 3:16. For God so loved the world that he, you know the verse, that he gave his only begotten son. Amen. Unique. One of a kind. Begotten means unique. One of a kind. That we should not perish. If that isn't about you and me, I don't know what is. He wants to make sure we don't perish. Come on. He was looking at you from the cross. Hey, he said, Father, forgive them. Isn't it great that forgiveness is already given? We just have to receive it. And so it's really about him, but he makes it about you. And I come to tell you this morning that this Easter, God is on the move. Last week, the word came through our bishop, Pastor May and myself, from our bishop, from the Potter's House there, Bishop T.D. Jakes. We've been with him about 12, 13 years now. We have another bishop here, Pentecostal Church of God, Bishop Jan Lake. We are blessed to have two bishops. We have a bishop and the church has a bishop. I may know this is a special place. You get two bishops. Amen. And I heard a word from our bishop, and God seemed to just resonate. I want to share parts of it with you. Here in St. Luke, the 24th chapter, we find the Easter account. It's in all four Gospels. The resurrection from the dead of Jesus of Nazareth, the Christ, the Anointed One. And in verse 5, there is a fascinating question which I've just read to you, and that was, why are you looking for the living among the dead? It sounds like a line from Hollywood's latest zombie movie. But if you take a moment, you'll recognize it as a question from the Word of God. I'm speaking to you today because I believe it's a question that can set your life in a whole new direction. This question was first asked here in Luke 24. It was asked of Mary Magdalene, of whom Jesus cast out seven devils. If you got one, you're in big trouble. Yeah. And there was Joanna there, and Mary, the mother of James, were walking to the tomb, and you probably know the story, to embalm the body of Jesus. But they were disappointed. Their hopes were dashed. Their future was uncertain. And maybe you can relate to one or more of those feelings today. And if so, take hope. But instead of finding someone dead, these women heard the words of life. He is no longer here. He is risen. Sadness was overcome by joy. Despair was overwhelmed by hope. Death was swallowed up in victory. Somebody ought to shout amen. Praise God. This is why the angels asked a simple question. Why are you looking for the living among the dead? And how many know we have a whole nation of people that call this nation a Christian nation and call themselves Christian, but they are looking for the living among the dead? In other words, you're looking in the wrong place. There is something better in store. God has moved on. And there are many of us who need to hear that same message today. Far too many times we look for God in the places where we saw him last. He's no longer there. He is risen. And we're not finding him because he's not there. I said he's not there. And we desperately need to find him in this hour. We desperately need to find the living God. We have gone as far as we can go, almost in this world in which we're living. In every level of government, in every nation, with every people. But if you're are in a need of blessing in any area of your life, and most of us are, amen, then look in a fresh place. God is on the move, and he wants to do a new thing in your life. Many are tired of the same old anyway. I don't know, but God has put something in us that we like new things. I may like new things. If you don't like new things, we'll wrap up something old and give it to you for your birthday and see how that works. God's into new things too. From the cross, that I make all things new. I said, I make all things new, Jesus said. I don't know about you, but I need some newness. There's some old that needs to go. Whew. I just felt the Holy Spirit right there. I'm talking to somebody that's got so much old, and God wants to give you some new. Hallelujah. God is orchestrating a divine shift. God isn't stagnant. He has moved to the next level. And if you want him to fulfill your destiny, you've got to be willing to let you take him, take you with him. If you want to fulfill your destiny, you must let him take you with him. You have a choice. You can go or you don't have to go. That is your choice. Nobody can make it for you. You make it yourself. And by not making a choice, you have already made the choice. Don't go back to the place of your pain. And don't rehearse those things that took your strength. Don't go back to those tombs. Instead, purpose in your heart to do what the Apostle Paul did. He said in Philippians 3, 13 and 14, this one thing I do. I don't do a whole lot of things. I don't have a whole lot of things to do. I got things to do, but this is the one thing I really got to do and I need to do. I am forgetting those things which are behind, and I'm reaching forth unto those things which are before me. There are things before you God has put before you, but you must forget what's behind, or you will never be able to access what God has put before you. Give God a praise, somebody. You got to let go one to embrace the other. Because you know what happens when you try to embrace them both. You remember when you had two girlfriends? Uh-huh. I've got two lovers. Love them both the same. Till one found out about the other. Then you got no lovers and I'm in a lot of pain. I can't sing real good, but you get the idea. Come on now. We got to forget some things that's behind. We got to leave some things behind if we're going to go on into the future and fulfill our purpose and our destiny. Because in some ways, in a lot of ways, we're not fulfilling it right now. We're just going through the motions. And sooner or later, you will get tired of going through the motions. As good as the motions may be, huh? As good as whatever you like to do is, at some point, God has made you and purposed you for greater. And you will come to the place where you will almost despise what you once loved. Because you know that is not your real purpose. That is not your destiny, to live and die 9 to 5 or whatever your hours are. And you know the company man, company store. They'll use you, love you till you get a little older. Yeah. We don't want to go there. That'll kill the anointing this morning. And then he said the second thing. He said, I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. I press towards the mark. This ain't going to happen just walking in the tulips, even if it is Easter. Amen. You got to press. You got to press through. There's a real devil pressing against you. There's a real devil says you'll never fulfill your destiny. There's a real devil says you're not going to heaven. There's a real devil says your sins are not going to be forgiven. The real devil says you'll never be free. You'll never recover. But God says, I make all things new. Hallelujah. I save the best till last for you. Glory to God. Hey. Says your latter shall be greater than your former. Your end shall be better than your beginning. Beginning might have been good, but I'm telling you, it ain't nothing like the ending. Oh, my God. Somebody will get happy. Somebody will run around here, my God. Oh, yeah. Those are Jesus' words. Those are God's words. I'm not hyping you. I'm not telling you something just to make you happy. I'm telling you, God wants you happy. His word will make you happy. His will will make you happy. Woo. He'll put a little jump in a 67-year-old man. I don't know who I'm talking about, but it's okay. Paul, the apostle, refused to get stuck in the past. How many know we get stuck? You ever been stuck? Come on, talk to me, somebody. I've gotten stuck before. But I refuse to get stuck in the past, to live in the past. No matter what the trials or tribulations he faced or we faced, he kept moving forward in Christ. And you and I can do the same. We can move forward. We will move forward. We must move forward. We cannot stay where we're at. The blessing is in a place we ministered a few weeks ago about Elijah. God says, go there. There is where the ravens are. There is where the provision is. There is where the blessing is. We're trying to find the blessings in every place we're going. And we get a paltry blessing the world can give us. We will pass away, but a blessing God has will be for eternity. Glory to God. We're trading the eternal for the cheap present, which will soon pass away. And then whose will those things be, the Bible says, that you work so hard for? Isn't it a shame you got to leave them to some knucklehead? There I go again. I better move back here. He kept moving forward in Christ, and you and I can do the same. You can press on because God is moving on. Tell the one next to you, get ready to move. Yeah. Tell them again, start moving. Start moving spiritually. Start moving into your destiny. Start moving into your real purpose. You have a real purpose. You have a real destiny. And let me tell you, you will never be happy until you find it. There will always be something in you that something's not right. I'm missing something. Got a beautiful wife, beautiful children, nice church. So, pastor. Amen. But how many know the pastor can't save you? When you get to the gates, say, well, I shook the pastor's hand, gave a few, you know, I gave some dime off. Yeah, but do you know Jesus Christ? Amen. Is God your father? Well, we're all children of God. That's a lie. We're all the creation of God. Are you hearing me? But we are not all the children of God. The children of God are those whose father is Heavenly Father. Jesus told the religious people, folks, he said, your father is the devil. I don't know about you, but somebody told me my daddy was the devil. That would kind of hurt my feelings. And real quick, if I can tell you, that's why you can't get to heaven by being good. Whew, so many people trying to get to heaven being good. And I know you're good. Look at somebody else and say, I know you're good. You're real good. Matter of fact, you're even better than the good. How many have somebody sitting next to you? You're better than the good. Amen. You don't know who's sitting next to me. And see, people, they think if they just be good enough. Well, I'm not as bad as the next guy. I've done pretty good to balance it out. I did burn better than I did not. Yeah, I know my sin. I know I missed it. But the question is, who's your daddy? Who is your daddy? Some of the toughest people for them to get saved is good people because they don't need God. They're good enough. And they've been sold the lie that if they're good enough, they can earn their way to heaven. But you see, we were born with the old nature. We were born because Adam sold us out. And so Adam gave it all to the devil. And so we're born with a sin nature. And sin did my mother conceive me. Didn't mean she was sinning when I could. It just means I have a sin nature. Because she had it. Her daddy had it. Her mama had it. Everybody had it from Adam. Don't you want to slap Adam real good? First I'm going to do, I think, when I get to heaven. Sucker. caused all this trouble. You've got to have a new heart. You've got to have a new nature. The old nature is prone to sin. The old nature does what it does. That's why we try, we get a little bit better, make New Year resolution. We do pretty good for a while, and, you know how that goes. And even if we do good, there's still something that's wrong. Sins have to be forgiven. He says, pray. He says that their eyes would be open, that they'd be turned from darkness to light, from the power of Satan to God, that their sins may be forgiven. That's the question. Are your sins forgiven here? Because Jesus paid for our sins, praise God. I tell you, I get happy on Easter, because it was Easter 1970 that God forgave all my sins. I was so far out, I didn't even know it was Easter, and I was raised in the church. Little pin, 7 years, perfect attendance. You can get so far out, you don't even know what's going on. But I'll tell you, the devil was moving in on me that Easter. God had to come and speak to me. Somebody was praying for me. He said, Ron, if you go out tonight, you're not coming back. Tonight, you're going to die, boy. What you've been doing, where you're at, I was backslidden. And I said, God, I don't want to die. I mean, you got to be a fool to want to die. And God, he don't use a lot of words. He said, then live. That's all he said. He said, then live. Just live. I knew what that meant. That meant turn your back on the devil. That meant turn your back on sin. That meant let go of everything that is killing you. The wages of sin is death. Everything that sin is death. Are you with me? And so I couldn't be good enough. I needed a Savior. I tried to be good. I said, I'll be good. Some of you say it too. I'll be good. And then you bad. Not this church. The one down the street. Over there. Do we have that church? You can't be good enough. You need the new nature. You need a new heart. You need what Jesus said, be born again. Jesus came saying, repent, for the kingdom of heaven of God is at hand. Repent, that's what he said when he came. That's what he said when he left. The most important thing is that we repent. Repent means to turn around. That means to change your direction. That means to change your mind about God and what God said. That means quit writing the Bible like you want to read it. Quit living it like you live it. And live it like God said to live it. Woo! I'm not getting a lot of claps on that, but I got a few. So I got a new nature. Nature that wants to do right. As good or bad as I was. Come on now. Did we get that? You can't be good enough. Because I know I'm talking to a lot of good people in here today. Uh-huh. Yeah. Yeah, you're not bad people. You're good people. I said you're good people. I'm talking to good people. Man, I feel that. I just spoke the truth to you. I got goosebumps and it ain't cold in here. That's a witness of the Holy Ghost. Says, yeah, I know they're good people. I didn't make no junk. I'm the creator. I don't make no junk. Hallelujah. It's the devil that messes it up. But Jesus came to restore it. Hallelujah. To give you back the years that the cankerworms have eaten. To restore back to you everything that's been stolen. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Easter's all about it. Easter's all about it. He rose. He said, because I live, you live also. Why do you think Jesus went through all that? How many have seen The Passion of the Christ, Mel Gibson? That is horrific. And he doesn't even, he portrayed it the best of anybody. But even that doesn't come close to what Jesus said. He was marred more than any man. You couldn't even recognize him. His own mother could not recognize him. If she didn't know it was him, because a mother knows, she would have not known. Marred more than any man. Beard plucked out. I mean, we know the story. Yeah. And he did it. He wouldn't have had to do it if we could be good enough. Huh. Who would go through that? And what disciples would die for that? Every one of them were martyred. You don't get martyred for a lie. The resurrection is real. Jesus rose from the dead. I'm sure not going to give my life for some lie, some imposter. No. We give our lives to Christ because we know that this life is not all there is. This is a short span. We have eternity. Whoo! I wanted to take my lowrider many years ago, but God said, get rid of it. Oh, you think I'm joking? No, he told me. I was saved about a year. He said, get rid of that Pontiac, that Bonneville. He said, because you're saved in church, but you get back in that car and you start slumping. Oh, you do it class. Yeah, you doing it with class. Yeah, you don't go too low because I didn't think that was real cool, It wasn't how low you could go, some of that, but that wasn't me. I just want to look cool. Come out of church one day, God said, you need to sell this lowrider. I said, yeah, I'm ready for that, Lord, because I'm a new creature, and that really don't go with me anymore. Because he makes all things new. Woo! Hallelujah. And for you high riders, I ain't into that either. You can press on because God is moving on. I said, God is moving on, and he wants you to move on with him. He is not willing to leave you behind. He will not leave you behind unless you refuse to come and to move. Amen. God is giving someone the power to move because God is moving on. Friends and family and members and visitors and guests, I'm convinced that God has a divine breakthrough in store for you. And not in just a few areas. God wants to bring his life-giving resurrection power into every area of your life. He's just not a Sunday morning God. God wants to move in every area, in your marriage, in what's left of your marriage. He'll even raise the dead after you killed them. Hallelujah. Oh, you don't want to keep it real in here. Okay, that's okay. We'll play church. In your finances, resurrection power in every area of your life, on your job, through your ministry, for your children, in your health, at your business, in your spirit. There's no part of your life that is beyond God's reach, body, soul, and spirit. God has something amazing in store for you. You. Told you it's all about you. But it won't happen. I said it won't happen if you keep going back to the tomb. Amen? We keep going back to the tomb. Why seek ye the living among the dead? Those people are going to hell. I said they're going to hell. There's nothing around their neck that says they're going to hell, but they're going to hell. They're not born again. God is not their God. Sports are their God. Family's their God. Entertainment's their God. We have a lot of gods in America. Our spouse is our God. We can make the pastor our God. The church our God. But there's only one God, Jesus Christ the Lord. That's who the Lord is, God Almighty. An idol. Idol is anything you trust in to save you. Your money, your job, your degree, even your church or your pastor or your dogma, whatever it is. No, no one can save you but Jesus Christ and his sacrifice and his resurrection. He lived, he died, and he rose again. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Woo. See, we think idols are people that have little tiki gods over in, you know, they bow down to their gods. No, no, we have gods too. America has a lot of gods. We trust in a lot of things, and they can't save you. The Bible says the arm of flesh will fail you at some point. Whew, my God. I feel God in this place. I feel God in this place. What God is about to do in your life will not be done in a dead place with dead people going nowhere, not going to heaven. That's why I try to tell everybody I can as God leads. Got a little track that says, you are someone special. You don't know. Time is short. Everything's coming to a close, folks. These are the end times. If you haven't read your Bible, you need to get in your Bible. It's all coming just like they prophesied, just like Jesus said. The rapture could happen any moment. Antichrist spirit is already working. We already see Antichrist on the world scene. Changing times, the Bible says. Changing customs. Calling evil good and good evil. God calls it an abomination. We love everybody, but we're not going to embrace the abominations. I don't care who legalizes it. I don't care what Supreme Court says you can do it. I don't care what they say. God says it's an abomination, and he says that because he knows it will ultimately destroy the individual, and he doesn't want anybody to perish. He doesn't want you destroyed. He wants you saved. Whew. Are you saved? Are your sins forgiven? Are you on your way to heaven? Do you know that you're saved? I ask people sometimes, I said, are you saved? I hate to use Christianese. And they say, well, I didn't know I was lost. I'm right over here in the mall, and I know where I'm going, and I see you. I said, yeah. Well, yeah, but there was another part. He said you was dead in sins and trespasses, the walking dead. I didn't know I was a walking dead. I knew I was a zombie, but I didn't know I was walking dead. Amen. You'll get that later if you know my story. How many know we can smile in church? It's not going to be done what God wants to do in your life in a dead place, surrounded by old thinking, stale ideas, decaying faith. So if you'll let me offer this challenge to you. Stop trying to fix what was and have the faith to believe God for what will be. Woo! Woo! God, I believe these are God's words, not mine. You serve a God who never changes, but is always moving. And he refuses to be boxed up and hemmed in. You can't put God in a box. Churches do it all the time. I came out of the box. I didn't come out of the closet, but I came out of the box. But if you come out of the closet, how many know you can come into the presence of God? We all got some skeletons in our closets. I hear them rattling a little bit. This ain't Halloween. This is Easter. Woo. Somebody better come get me. You serve a God who never changes. He's always moving. And he will not be boxed in or hemmed in. I come into churches after I got born again and saved. And I tell you what, they was as cold as a mausoleum. And the people in them were as dead as people in the mausoleum. And if you ever been in some of those churches, you know what I'm talking about. Preacher looked like the mortician. And the deacons didn't look much better. They looked like the pallbearers. I said, who needs that? I came out of death. I came out of the box of sin, not to come into your religious little box. I'm sorry I don't do it your way. I'm sorry it doesn't measure up to what you want. But I thought we were serving Christ. I thought this was a church of Jesus Christ, not you, sir. And I thought that was his pulpit. I thought he shed his blood for his church. Why you call it your church? I know it's our church family. I'm getting a little bit. But I'm real funny about this. Because as long as it's yours, it ain't his. I have a responsibility to watch over it. God gave me, but this is not, these are not my people. You are God's people. You're my family, church family. I don't own you. You're not here to please me. You're not here for me. Why do we have leaders that think the church is there for them? I thought Jesus said he was a servant, that we were supposed to serve. What's all this being served? Oh, there I go again. Hallelujah. How many ready to see real church? A real gospel, a real religion, something that's alive, something that has a relationship. Cold, formal religion is what killed Jesus, those religious leaders. I don't have to ask if you had some, quote, Christian say something to you that wasn't right on a Sunday morning. Oh, I got to stay out of that. Got to stay out of that. I just tell you, you can't, he's always moving. You can't box him. You can't hem him in. Because you know what happens when you do? All of a sudden, you're in the box. And he's out there walking around. God wants to do a fresh, exciting, better than imagined work in your life. And Isaiah 43:19 makes this promise. Behold, I will do a new thing. And now, somebody say now. Now, right now, it shall spring forth. There's a new work springing forth right now in someone's heart. This seeds, this word going forth. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. God gives us faith. Without faith, it's impossible to please God. Because he that cometh to God must believe that he is. Not just that he is, but he's a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. I found the rewarder, not the condemner. Ooh. He has never condemned me. I've condemned myself, but he never condemned me. The devil's condemned me. God convicts us. Some minister says, you know what? You're better than that. You're better than that. That's your father, your heavenly father telling you that. God convicts us, but conviction draws us to him. Conviction from a father to a son says, you're better than that son. You're better than that daughter. I know you can do it. I know you got it. I know there's greatness in you. Condemnation is from the devil and says, you're a dirty so-and-so. You ain't no good. Look at you. You call yourself a Christian. Look what you did. You big old hypocrite. I may know the one that told you is the biggest hypocrite of all, the devil. Yeah. Hypocrite comes from the word actor. We got a whole lot of hypocrites in Hollywood. And I'm not down on that because, thank God, I love movies and stuff, don't you? So there's nothing wrong with that, as long as you're not pretending to be something you're not, unless that's what you're called to be. I guess you're called to be an actor, but I may know we're not called to be an actor in here. I said, you're not called to be an actor. People come in Sunday morning, everybody looking good. If it goes by looks, I'm going to be there. Hallelujah. But see, God doesn't look on the outward appearance. He looks at the heart. Woo, God always knew my heart. I was condemned on the outside, even by the church. But God said, not so fast, Mr. Devil. I look on the heart. And there's something in that heart that is calling and crying out for God. That has been wounded, been tore up, tore down, messed up. But Jesus, oh, he loves to take messes. He's the miracle worker. He turns them into miracles. Now, I know you wasn't the biggest mess as I was, but I may be a bigger miracle than you are, but you can have it too. Amen. Hallelujah. Look, somebody else say there's hope for you yet. Go on, tell me there's hope for you yet. Okay, lighten up in here. Amen. Amen. Let me close. But isn't that exciting? God has something new in store for you today. Are you ready to receive it? How many ready to receive the new God has in store for you? Come on. God, don't let this be just another Easter. Don't let this be just another Easter. If the bunnies have new life, you ought to have new life. Amen. And those eggs the bunnies lay that you eat, those hard-boiled eggs, amen. If anybody has a bunny that lays eggs, I'd like to have one. Let me close with, I believe God wants to help us discover what it means to stop looking for the living among the dead. Are you still there with me? If you got your Bibles, turn with me if you like. If not, just listen. Ephesians, the second chapter. Ephesians, the second chapter. Ephesians, the second chapter. The first verse, I just want to share a few verses with you. Ephesians reminds us of who we are. And you hath he quickened. Somebody say you. Quickened means to make alive, to animate, to enliven, to revive, to stir, to begin to show signs of life as a fetus in the womb. And you hath he quickened who were dead in sins and trespasses. My God, walking dead men and women. But you hath he quickened. Have you been quickened? Have you been made alive? Are you born again? Do you know you're on your way to heaven? Do you know your sins are forgiven? I ask people that, and they'll say, well, I think so. How many know that's like saying, sick them to a dog? I know if they only think so, they ain't so. Because when you're born again and your sins are forgiven, and you're right with God, and you have the peace of God, and you made peace with God, Jesus made peace for you, you know your sins are forgiven, you know you're following Christ, you know that you are living the way God wants you to live, the best of your ability, and you know you're on your way to heaven. Hallelujah. If I were to die today, I know where I'd be, and I pray that you would also know if you don't. Living Bible says, once you were under God's curse, dead in sins and trespasses, doomed forever by your sins, for your sins. Verse 2, you went along with the crowd and were just like all the others, full of sin, obeying Satan and the mighty prince of the power of the air, who is at work right now in the hearts of those who are against the Lord. All of us used to be just as they are. Amen. Our lives expressing the evil within us, doing every wicked thing that our passions of our evil thoughts might lead us into. We started out bad, being born with evil natures, and were under God's anger just like everyone else. Verse 4, but God. Somebody say, but God. Thank God for God. But God. Woo! But God, in his, is so rich in mercy. Somebody cry, mercy. He loved us so much that even though we were spiritually dead and doomed by our sins, he gave us back our lives again when he raised Christ from the dead. Because I live, you shall live also, spiritually. Only by his undeserved favor have we ever been saved, not because we're good, and lifted us up from the grave into glory along with Christ, where we sit with him in the heavenly realms, all because of what Christ Jesus did, not what we did. And now, verse 7, and now, so I'm saying now. And now God can always point to us as examples of how very rich his kindness is, that he saved a wretch like me. Once I was blind, but now I see. Do you know who wrote that song? It's almost too awful to even mention from the pulpit. It was the slaver. His name was John something, that Christ saved, and he wrote that song, Amazing Grace, after what he did on that slave ship. He knew the amazing grace of God. If anybody should have gone to hell, that man should have gone. How many know somebody that should have gone to hell? Come on, be honest with me. You don't want to talk to me. That's okay. As long as it ain't you, amen, or me. I'm closing. This is the fourth closing. I'll be done. Shown in all he's done for us through Jesus Christ, his mercy, his love, his grace. Because of his kindness, you have been saved through trusting Christ. And even trusting is not of yourselves. It too is a gift from God. Salvation is not a reward for the good we have done. So none of us can take any credit for it. It is God himself who has made us what we are and given us new lives from Christ Jesus. And long ages ago, he planned that we should spend these lives in helping others. Created us for good works. Look up. God is on the move. The hordes of hell are on the move, but mine eyes are not on that. My eyes are on Jesus. Yes, I could be fearful seeing the things that are coming. The Bible says men's hearts are going to fail them for fear seeing what's coming on the earth in these last days. But he tells us, fear not. Look up. Your redemption draweth nigh. When you see these things beginning to happen, God is on the move and he has something great in store for you. Let me leave you with that and leave you with a blessing. If you got your bulletin, can I just share that blessing? Then I'll let you go. Amen. Turn me loose. Somebody say, turn me loose. Hallelujah. Special blessing from our bishop. He is no longer here. He's risen. Most of you know Bishop Jakes. God is on the move, and he is convinced that God has a divine breakthrough in store for you, not just in a few areas, but God wants to bring his life-giving resurrection power to every area of your life, which we have shared. He has something, believe me when I say, something new for you this Easter, and I pray you're ready to receive it. The blessing from the Lord through our bishop, if you've got it, the eye gate and the ear gate is twice as powerful, but if you haven't got it, that's okay. If you can't see it, that's all right. You can hear it. God is moving on, and it's time for you to do the same. This is your time. This is your season. This is your moment. This is your opportunity. You may not get another. I said you may not get another. We are the biggest gamblers with our lives. Many should be in Vegas. They gamble that they're going to live another day without Christ. It's time for you to move on. God is moving on. The Spirit is moving right now into every tough place, every dry place, every dead place. You don't have to fix it or explain it. Isn't that good? You don't even need closure. You just need to move on. Somebody shout, move on. Good God, right now. In the name of Jesus, I command you to walk in resurrection power, to set your affections on things that are above and not on things on the earth, not on things here below. I call you out of the dungeons and the grave clothes. And most of all, I remind you of what God has already spoken in your life. This is nothing new to many of you. God has a destiny for you. God has a purpose for you. God has a plan for your life. God called you. God saved you. God died for you. God will deliver you. God will protect you. God will make a way. Receive life in every dry place. Receive life in every dead place. Receive life in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. I receive. Little song says, only believe. All things are possible. This is the year of the impossible being made possible. This is the year that God says you will do the impossible. Like Abraham and many of our fathers, God gave us that word. And we are in impossible places in our world, impossible situations, impossible crossroads. But I tell you by the authority of the word of the living God, you will do the impossible this year. God will make the impossible possible, no matter how impossible. For with God, nothing shall be impossible. They said it was impossible that I should get or would get saved. Too far gone. Too far out there. Too much water under the bridge. Had too many opportunities. But God didn't listen to any of that. How many know what I'm talking about? Glory to God. Give God a praise if you believe that. And so I thank God for you. I thank God for you being here this morning. If you'll stand with me, let's stand before a God who does the impossible. And I don't know what place you're standing in this morning. I don't know what your state is. I don't know where your soul is before God. That is between you and God. But I know you're not here by chance. And I know that this is just not a coincidence. I should not be here. I should have been in hell 30, almost 40 years ago. I am so thankful. I said, I'm so thankful, and I know you're thankful that we're still here, and the miracle continues. Woo! I said that to my beautiful wife, our first lady, at 30,000 feet a few years ago on our way to a conference. I said, well, baby, we've been through a lot. I may have been through a lot. Come on now. But we're still here. You're still here by the grace of God, and so am I. And God isn't through yet. Your best days are ahead. Somebody didn't believe that. You're going by your past. God is saying, forget your past. I got a future for you. I rose from the dead. I got power. And I'm moving in your life. And I'm going to help you move on. I'm going to help you move on. Great is God's faithfulness. Lord, I thank you for these precious lives and hearts and people on this beautiful Easter day. Thank you. Thank you. I pray that something that was said today will have resonated in their hearts, will have touched them where only you can touch them. Father, I thank you for all those that have received the peace of Christ and have peace with God today. I speak to every hindrance, every barrier, every stumbling block that has been placed in that someone's way to keep them. Every bad example, every bad witness, every bad church, whatever it might have been. God, I wouldn't darken a door of this church, any church, for 10 years. I thought you were like those people that said they loved you and yet did what they did. But you're not like that. You're who you really say you are. You're a God of love. You are also a God of judgment, but you placed your judgment on Calvary with Jesus. You are not mad at us. You love us. You took out your anger on Calvary. No matter where we are or what we've done, you are here with us right now, speaking to us, knocking on the door of someone's heart today. He's a gentleman. He said, will you let me in? The handle is on the inside. He will not force his way in. It's free will. He doesn't want puppets. He just wants you to receive his love, his purpose, his destiny for your life, his eternal. I've gone to prepare a place for you, that where I am, there you may be also. In my Father's house are many mansions. I've gone to prepare a place for you, that where I am, you may be. God wants you with him. Would you follow him today? Would you step out today? Would you make a decision today? If you're here and you've never given your life to Christ, you've been thinking about it, today, I pray, is your day. Today, receive peace with God. Come to the one who loves you, the eternal God. Father, I pray for those that are coming to you right now. Would you pray with me, church? Heavenly Father, in Jesus' name, I receive the sacrifice on the cross, the birth, the death, the burial, the resurrection of Jesus Christ. I repent. I turn around. I change my mind. I need a Savior. I cannot save myself. I cannot forgive my own sins. I can forgive myself, and I can forgive others. But only you can forgive sins. Forgive me, Father, in Jesus' name, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. I turn to you. I will serve you. I receive your forgiveness. I receive your new life. I receive this word today. I will move on with you. I will leave death, destruction. I will receive your life and move on with you, Lord God. I make that decision today. I leave the place of the dead, of the tombs. I will not return there. I turn my back on those tombs. And those that are dead, I will love them with your love, but I must move on with you. Eternal life is my gift from you. You said I shall receive the gift of eternal life. I receive your salvation. I receive you as my Savior and my Lord. I will follow you. I will live with you. I will live for you. From this Easter forward, help me, Lord. Help me. I need your help. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Praise God. Praise God. Praise God. Now, Lord, I thank you for each one that has been on the sound of my voice and the Spirit of God today. We receive. We believe. And Lord, I thank you for what you're doing in each and every life as they leave this place. May this be the greatest Easter they have ever experienced and ever celebrated. May everything be brighter because of your life. May the light of the glory of God shine upon each one. And Father, may the new life that you have offered and given to us today, Father, make all things new you said you would. I want to thank you for what they're walking into. I want to thank you for what they're walking away from, many. I thank you, Father, that we are pressing towards the mark. We are on our way. We are citizens of a different kingdom. This world is not our home. We're just passing through. I thank you for what you have prepared for us and for them. I receive them now. If you receive Christ today, I want to welcome you as a new brother and sister in the Lord. Welcome to the family of God. I said, welcome to the family of God. Welcome them to the family of God. Amen. If you come back to God, you've been away and things have separated you, you've been hurt, been wounded, the Lord will heal those wounds and bind up. Amen. He's a healer of broken hearts. Amen. Would you turn to somebody and say, have a wonderful, blessed Easter. Would you do that? Happy Easter. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Now go on and give them a hug or something. Give them a handshake or something.